Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here, hanging out with Henry Zebrowski.
Oh.
There he is. Thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. Without you, we're nothing.
We are nothing. We're less than nothing.
Less than nothing. Bugs in the ground. Less than bugs on the ground, because bugs in the ground are something.
That's something.
That's something. Not to be too Jerry Seinfeld talking about nothing. We're having fun here already. Well, speaking of very smart people, we are honored to have with us one half of the amazing podcast, the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are joined by Chris Cogswell. Chris, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. I am super excited to be here.
Hell yeah, man.
Don't be that fucking excited. We're about to drag you through the mud.
Oh, yeah. This is going to come pretty hard.
Or you don't know our takedown Patreon interviews?
So
we have this clip of you when you were 9 years old farting in bowls. Would you like to explain yourself?
See what you did to your family farting in all the bowls, Mr. Cogswell?
That's what I did when I was five. I got caught farting in a bunch of bowls, which is still funny to me.
It's highly funny. I don't understand it, though.
Nope. No one did.
But you notice that what he did was that he painted you with the crime that he himself committed.
Rough, man. I see how it is. Deception. That's what goes on in this podcast.
Well, speaking of deception, today we're going to be talking a lot about UFOs. And I know Henry has a lot of questions for you, Chris. And I know Chris, he has a scientific perspective, a little bit different than ours, I would say.
It is, because he has a microscope in his home.
So many microscopes. They give you one when you graduate with a PhD. They give you a microscope.
They fucking better.
A little hat. It's great.
Chris, you, Mad Scientist Pod, guys do great UFO coverage. You guys did a really good series breaking down the Robert Bigelow saga, the kind of the idea of a bunch of covert money mixed with private enterprise deep within the UFO world, and why it creates a bunch of different, essentially, conflicts of interest over and over and over again. But we kind of wanted to talk a little bit about I wanted to spill the tea a little bit on the UFO community and kind of how it's going. Because you kind of have a line. I'm not going to malign you. This isn't a malignation of your character. But you're sort of like, you can be almost like a gossip girl. But about the UFO community.
Oh,
what
you
is
know
this
it.
Takedown? What's the hot goss then, Chris, with Gossip Girl? My goodness, nothing wrong with being a gossip girl. Technically, they can have a great career doing podcasts or being on Entertainment Tonight. They used to say the same thing about Mary Hart. Chris, what's going on in the UFO world?
UFO, first off, Lou Elizondo, man, does he look fat in those pants.
Okay, we should talk about
just
this.
Just gossip hard right now. I mean, you know, well, there's the UFO world is super. It's one of the most complicated subcultures that's out there. And I even say that as someone who, you know, in high school played in a ska band. So I knew what it was like to be part of a weird subculture, because no one likes ska, because it's, you know, four horns. Well, I love ska.
Ska gets the knees buckling. It gets the toes tapping a bit.
I'm going to stay out of the ska discussion.
I know what you're going to do.
So the UFO subject, you know, and you guys actually do a really good job on your show, too, of kind of talking about the metaphysical, materialist, and then sort of more of the military-based conspiracies or ideas that sit within that same one world. So the metaphysical side of things is sort of a more... You guys touched on it really well when you talked about Heaven's Gate, right? This idea that there was a religious component to this whole subject. And, you know, it's always kind of been under the surface, but you look back at things like, say, theosophy or occultism, those ideas over time, they never really change. And that's something that we see with kind of the history of these ideas over and over again. So what 1,000 years ago maybe would have been a witch abducting you from your bedroom at night, today becomes looped into UFO lore.
But I believe in the combination. I am one of those who does believe in the psychic iteration of the UFO story, and the idea that there is a mixture of the way our consciousness works with reality and what this phenomena is. Sarah Scholes, in her book, They're Already Here, I believe it is called.
That's scary.
She does a good breakdown of the idea of UFOs replacing religion in a way that is, first of all, I was just like, am I being subtweeted? And second of all, right. I can totally see it, because it is this wondrous thing. And so some people within the UFO community they replace whatever they're strongly atheists or whatever, or maybe agnostic, but they have basically replaced a God figure with the concept of UFOs.
Yeah. So basically UFOs become, instead of saying that something is magic or like it works because of magic, you can say it works because aliens know more about quantum physics than us.
Right.
Which is still like a lazy argument, but it at least sounds a little bit more serious than you saying, you know, wizards or whatever. So there's the metaphysical side of things. Then there's sort of the more materialist side, which is they call themselves kind of the nuts and bolts researchers. So these are people who think that there are physical craft coming here with physical beings that are visiting the Earth and abducting people and doing whatever.
And they don't believe, a lot of people are, if you're in the UFO nuts and bolts community, they believe that if you even bring up any of the psychic hootie-hoo, that you are essentially, I'm going to use the technical term, a butt boy.
Whoa, yes. A butt boy.
Hardcore into the butt boy labeling there. Yes, they completely believe that, right? They totally think that if there is, you know, for a time, if there was any hint of a religious aspect to a case, UFO organizations would throw that case away.
So I have a question when it comes to, so you have your atheist believers in UFOs, but is there a religious wing of UFO thinkers? Because if you do believe God created the heavens and the earth and the universe, then theoretically he could, or it could, whatever, create aliens too, right? Is there a religious, are there people who hold both of these things to be true in their mind as well, that there is a God and that there are UFOs?
100%. So actually, okay, it's really interesting. So one of the common kind of ideas that's out there right now, is that UFOs, or the people that are within the UFOs, or the beings within the UFOs, are either angels or demons. So the religious thing, The psychic thing, all of those things come together, right? So they're all, like, you guys read the Sandman series, right? Or the Books of Magic by Neil Gaiman?
I read like half of one, and I stared at Marcus's bad tattoo enough to really get it.
I got most of Sandman for Marcus's back tattoo. Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, so Marcus will explain it. But basically, in that story, the idea is that it's very Jungian, where there's this idea of there being one story that gets told over and over again, but it's told with different players and different figures and different people.
The Spider-Man origin story.
Kind of the Spider-Man origin story, right? Where you have, this, you know, the hero story is a good example of that. But another really good example of that is this notion of there being a secret world living next to ours, but unattainable by only a few people can attain access to that world. But occasionally those beings will show up in our world and change human events.
That's the Jacques Vallée idea too, right? Is that they are there to, they exist to, as a function of our consciousness. It's an extension of our consciousness. And we see these things and we experience these abduction scenarios almost as a way of our brains trying to understand ourselves.
Yeah. And interestingly, you know, from the perspective of, say, even a skeptic who's into this from, say, the anthropological or historical perspective, those are the stories that are really interesting, because really, if you look back, say, at the history of demonology, those stories are strikingly similar to modern day UFO stories, and the explanations are similar too, because these are just old philosophy. These are old ideas that have been around. But again, instead of saying, you know, Descartes' demon is a famous example of this, instead of saying that I'm being tricked by a demon who's, you know, changing my perception of the world, you're saying it's a UFO or it's an alien.
Does that give more validity to the UFO case then, if people have been talking about it, but just with different verbiage?
It's almost the opposite, because I feel like the demon shit is what actually kept a lot of our government from heavily investigating UFOs for years, because there's a whole line of thought saying that the reason why they can Project Blue Book is because our evangelical generals, literally our Christian leaders, were so afraid of the UFO phenomena that they didn't want to look at it or call attention to it, because they thought that they were whispering the devil's name and they would bring the devil's attention to America.
Yeah, it actually brings us to the third section, or the third subgroup here, is the militaristic subgroup, where they're really sort of like, this is a national security issue. We should take this seriously. All that psychic stuff. Okay, we know the government funded it for a little bit, but we're just going to ignore all of that and just say we don't know what these things are, but we need to study them because what if it's China or what if it's, you know, whoever.
So you have, so it's the militaristic view, the atheist view, and then the religious view. Are those the three? Is that a fair
sort essentially? Of- and then there's also sort of, they all mingle. There's like a million, you know, if you ask someone in the UFO community, like, well, what place would you put yourself? Most people are going to say, you know, I don't like labels, man. Right, like that's going to be their thing. Just like, yes. You know, again, just like the Scott kids in high school, right? Like,
yes, of course.
I don't like to say what I am.
It's kind of a spectrum, I would assume, though, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
No. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a in lot.
Many,
of that, right?
In many senses.
Yes. So there is a big portion, I guess, of folks who would say that they are somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
But then you also have this really interesting group of people who I think legitimately believe that they've had really negative experiences with this stuff.
Right.
And they're kind of this unfortunately captive audience that these other people can, you know, ask to buy books and TV shows and stuff.
I think that there is a partly of that. There is the audience people that are both upwardly looking for there to be an explanation and a kind of like a Godhead version of the UFO, which is why they watch it. And there are some people that have been straight up, they believe that they've been scooped up and raped by space creatures, and they right. are torn and destroyed, which is then some people within the nuts and bolts UFO community, they won't even listen to abduction stories. And then there are people within the abduction community that won't believe in any of the other stuff. They believe that what happened to them is concrete reality and not straight up down the middle. Like, but all of these people need to be entertained, which is why we make alien television shows.
Yeah, exactly. They all need to go to conferences. I think the biggest challenge, or I guess sort of what TTSA has done really well, is they have been able to kind of be something for everyone. They fit all three of those categories. You have Tom publishing books with you know, kind of very deep occult backgrounds.
I've been reading through A Secret Machines recently, and it is all, it's such a mixture of fiction and nonfiction that you're like, I can't believe how far he went with this. It's the same exact script as The Secret History of Twin Peaks. It's the same shit.
Good for him.
Yeah, it's seriously, it's very, very deep. And so you have them coming out that way. And then you also have they have this guy, Hal Puthoff, who famously led kind of Scientology's, well, not really Scientology's per se, but the government's research into Scientologist ideas, things like, you know, remote viewing and gaining psychic abilities through training and everything else.
Well, he was an OT8.
Yeah.
And so he went and basically sold fucking Scientology IP to the CIA that then tried to use it. Like, as we were talking last week on Side Stories about the Monroe Institute and using all this gateway technology.
And then, you know, so you have those two kind of on the psychic side of things. Then you have people like, say, Chris Mellon and Lou Elizondo being more on the military side and kind of the nuts and bolts side.
They're trying to secure the cologne deal. If you can tell by Luis Elizondo's
cologne deal,
Ed Hardy full outfit, then you know that he's really trying to smell good. He's trying to make UFOs smell just a little bit better.
Ooh, the musk.
It's truly interesting the way that this group is sort of, they kind of modeled themselves off of these previous groups, though, because this isn't the first time that a UFO media conglomerate has come out on the scene. Not really media conglomerate, but, you know, a UFO group has come out on the scene. The difference here is that this group has, you know, Bigelow was rich. Mellon is like rich. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, this guy has connections.
He has more cash than Bigelow.
Yes, his family certainly does.
Wow.
And that's the kind of the part of this that's interesting is every iteration, you know, every iteration, they're able to get more and more entrenched with the military or, you know, the government, that whole kind of milieu of people.
Right.
And it doesn't seem to matter that nothing is working because I guess it's just government work. So they're like, well, we tried. Let's fund it again.
Because they have their... They have the metamaterials program where they were supposed to invest a bunch of money in figuring out what these quote-unquote metamaterials are, which is just it's stuff that we have on Earth, but it's put together in a super weird way, right? So they say that it's put together weird, which is why it's called metamaterials, and they're supposed to do a bunch of things of researching into it, but they're not really. They seem to mostly be producing television shows. But right. What is the beef? Why are people so mad at the TTSA? Like, because that's the truth.
It seems they're getting it from every single angle, right?
Because, and I think partially it's got to do with what you said, is that they are something for everybody, and because they're something for everybody, then that means they are then definitely at least not the thing for at least one person every day.
I think the problem is, so in a lot of the history of UFO stuff, and you guys cover this really well, is, so you guys know this already, the first thing, it doesn't matter how good a case is, right? The first thing that happens after a UFO group gets involved in investigating a UFO event is they make fools of themselves. It always happens, right? You know, they're out there chasing after dudes in their tidy whities or whatever, right? Like, it always happens that way. And so the problem with, or I think the issue that a lot of people have with TTSA is that you're entrenched in your position. So you think, you know, these three people are really legitimate, but you don't trust the other two in that organization. So anytime those two say anything, you're from your own little kind of cavern or whatever, coming out and saying, those guys are total bullshitters. They're not saying the right thing.
Right. Well, why can't, of course, it's the To the Stars Academy, which sounds like a school for grooming kids. It does sound like a place for pedophile teachers to go. To the Stars Academy is horrifying as a name. But why can't both of these things exist, or all three of these things exist? Why can't it be nuts and bolts? And then why couldn't it also be a bit more of the, you know, psychic and all of those? Why can't all of these things exist and coincide with one another?
Explain it to this fucking long idiot.
Well,
Chris,
you know, the thing
you nub.
We don't know enough about any of this stuff to have any strong opinions on any of it. You know, like we've never had a good photo of a UFO. We don't know a single case that there is like irrefutable proof that this person had an event or had an experience. So in my mind, or kind of what I keep arguing, is we're putting the cart way before the horse. We're making arguments about, you know, these things are coming here with this intention or whatever. How about get me a photo of one first? How about
What about all the people who have been abducted, or with the abduction stories that have never met and have really similar very similar, you know, events occur to them? They never know each other. I mean, it's wealthy people, poor people, rural people.
Well, you know what's interesting, actually, is so that's a really good example of one of these things, right? All of this stuff kind of did coexist since the beginning of the study of UFOs. So I'll give you an example, right? One thing that skeptics say a lot, or that people who study this kind of historically will say, is that you have eras of ufology where in the 1960s, the things that were abducting you were green aliens in bikinis.
Yeah, you know, and like very specific. It was, and it came right out of the movies.
Exactly. Then the 1980s happened, and people were being abducted by like robots and scary things that look kind of like from Alien and whatever.
And then Whitley Strieber's story, that Whitley Strieber changed the whole thing, because then he said that that's when grays became really a huge, like the swath of anything that's getting probed. If you're getting probed, you're getting probed by a gray.
It's a little grady with almond eyes. That seems to be true, but that also has some errors to it, because in those timelines, we were only getting UFO reports to the public by like a handful of people, right? So there's control on the stories that are getting out there. Today on the internet, people are claiming or making their UFO claims completely freely, completely out there without any control on the story that they're putting out. So one of the things that recently people are like, well, this is weird, why is this only happening now, is when someone is abducted by a UFO, supposedly, one of the things that can stop that from happening is reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Blech.
Wait, yeah. But what? Don't. Oh my God, he is such an 11er. Yes, I know you don't like that. You can't like that.
No, I just think, I just think it's dumb.
Well, but why did that start?
Well, so that has been going on since the beginning of abductions. And it's a thing that's common again in demonological.
So now you're getting probed. You're getting penetrated in your rear, citing the God's prayer. Next thing you know, you're coming in church.
Yep.
What is
that's where it started. And I feel like it all started. But I think that it actually comes all the way back around where you were talking about people that believe in UFOs and believe in God. And the Vatican has one of the deepest ufological programs that exist. They truly do.
Is that where they got the probes?
I think the aliens gave them the probes.
Oh, yeah. My.
But I think a thing or two from you guys. It's damn. Like,
wow. Yeah.
Oh my God. The aliens went to the Vatican and they're like, we're going to start raping these kids.
I'll tell you what, you guys really figured out how to make sure nobody tells anyone that they're getting probed. No one keeps our secrets. But they believe if they want to see UFOs, they want to make them Catholic. They want to make sure that if they are out there and they're coming here, that they will be Catholic.
What? They're trying to what are they? Are they giving them the Eucharist? They want to make the aliens how small is your worldview? If you're confronted by an extraterrestrial being, you're like, we better make sure they're not Lutheran.
That's what they do.
See, but that's the thing though, right? So the argument that's why people like say Jacques Vallée have come out and said, this is all conforming to the person's worldview, because it turns out that if you're abducted in the United States, your aliens are you know, telepathically communicating with you in English, and they are you know, they're warded off by Christianity and religious stuff like that. You know, they're talking to you about the Packers or whatever. Like, it's a very American view of things. Whereas if you're abducted in Brazil or another country like that, it's completely different. So the argument is, you know, so the argument would be, as opposed to it all being horseshit, because none of that makes sense altogether, the argument is then, well, they're tricking all of us into making evidence that does not fit to itself.
Well, we spoke about it with our fellow researcher, John Tenney, who was of the mind that he's very deep into the paranormal world, and the idea that the essential nature of this, if you want to call it an elemental, like this, whatever this psychic energy, whatever, if it either it has a full-on conscious intelligence or it's just some ancient fucking reality shadow, like some weird shit that we just don't remotely understand, just out there, but they are. Prerogative is to stay hidden, and that's what they want, that they want to be subterranean, so you can't fully put your finger on it, because the whole point, you're supposed to learn an interior lesson that there's no such thing as objective truth.
Well, I don't want to learn that today.
It's too late, Kissel.
But there is some objective truth. Isn't this what flat earthers rely on?
It's very...
It's kind of dangerous not to believe in any truth, because then don't you throw science out the window and stuff?
I'll throw water on you and I'll tell you it's piss. I'll do it. I can do whatever I want. It's fun.
So, that's some really cold piss.
Yep.
What's interesting, actually, is that idea of there being no... So, you know, René Descartes famously... His quote is, I think, therefore I am. Oh, and everyone gets that quote wrong, because no one reads Descartes, because we don't have... an education system in this country.
It's boring. So, it's because it's boring, and I need something with tits in it.
When I hear Eckhart, all I think about is the fat detective from 1989's Batman, which I think is Eckhart, actually. Yes. So that's where I'm at with that.
I understand. So in his philosophical works, though, one of his most famous, that saying, I think, therefore I am, was he was trying to understand, is there anything about the world I can know without external knowledge? Because I get stuff wrong all the time, right? I misremember things. My eyes can get all wonky, whatever. I can drink a lot of beer and be, you know, all fucked up, whatever. Like, I can't trust my senses. So how can I be sure that any of this is real when it could all be a dream? And what he ended up figuring out or thinking was, I can't know that this isn't a dream or this isn't a hallucination. The only thing I can know is that because I'm thinking, I must exist someplace.
Yeah, dude.
Right.
Fucking oneness with the universe. It's the simple apprehension of the universe is the quintessential searching for union with everything, or being one with everything. It already exists, because it's just the apprehension of reality. It's knowing that there's a tissue box here for my cum. It knows that there. I know I'm thinking that there's cum inside of my balls.
Is that your nickname for Natalie?
I'll fucking strike you.
This is my wife's tissue box. You think that's appropriate?
Oh my God.
You think that's appropriate, Henry?
Didn't say it.
Then, so Descartes thinks this crap, right? Descartes comes up with this, and then the next, like, you know, 100 famous philosophers are all trying to refute what he said.
No,
like, no, like, no. I know stuff.
I know like, things.
I totally know things all the time, right? Like,
right.
You know, you wonder if, I mean, you know, if Descartes got punched in the face, was his bully like, you know, do you see this hand? Is this hand real, you stupid philosopher yeah. jerk? You know, it's a very yeah. kind of...
He may have inadvertently invented the swirly, of course. His head
being not great. Yeah, not his most famous invention. Sad. But the idea, though, is that a lot of these ideas that we talk about in ufology, and ufologists don't necessarily know this because they're just getting involved in this and it's kind of a hobby and it's fun and whatever. But a lot of those ideas are ideas that we've talked about for a long time because people have probably been having experiences like this for a long time. Now, from my perspective, from kind of the scientific perspective, I can't say either way whether or not an experience someone is having is real. But I think, you know, you might not believe in UFOs, but there's no way that you can deny that UFO believers exist. These yeah, people right, are out right. there. These people vote.
Absolutely. These people hold office.
Yeah. Understanding why they believe these things or how they came to that theory. And frankly, getting to the bottom of if there's anything to this or not, I think is a blind spot that we've had for a long time because conspiracy culture has never really mattered in the same way it matters now.
Yeah.
Where like, you know, the world's not going great.
Yeah, no, it's true. And it, because of the panic, I mean, in quarantine, we get another topic we talked about with Tenney was that quarantine is ramping up this thought as well. Now, I think maybe that has something to do now with the fever pitch. I want to ask you quickly about this. The aforementioned second coming of Jesus of ufology, which is disclosure, right? This concept of disclosure, people are fucking hung up on this thing. And it
well,
seems
cool.
Every generation of ufologists believe that this is the generation that we are going to get it. And yeah. I am starting to see, in my mind, I am starting to say, if there is any sort of quote-unquote disclosure event, which is what I think people are waiting for.
But aren't we already having it now?
No. It's the opposite because when the original videos came up in December 2017, they then got debunked and then brought back up and then debunked and then one is old and one, like, they're not new. What they want is fucking Colin Powell, who I think that's who they choose. Colin Powell
yeah, sure.
standing next to a UFO in front of the White House. Like, that's like what they want.
Yeah.
In my mind, I think
they gave me the name Colin.
Do you see? And that's how they appreciate me. But I am the most boring general, and that's why I'm here.
Oh.
But they want you to believe that it's one angle, it's going to be like that, where I think disclosure is going to come out way more like a tiny little fart, and it's going to come out in a weirdly controversial stance of, we don't know what it is.
So So first off, disclosure itself, like you said, yeah, like there are, it's like after the Super Bowl, the team that doesn't win, those hats get sent over to like, you know, Peru or like, you know, yes. other countries or whatever.
Kissel had an old bit from that for yeah. That was his old stand-up bit where he was the, yeah,
they, but man, then I was told then that they create most of the shirts after they know who the winner is.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. That's not funny.
Yeah, other than I'm for fucking
the teams,
mad now.
For the teams,
bullshit.
Yeah. Just for the team. But no, there are shirts that say the losers won. But there's not as many as I was hoping for the premise
okay.
of my joke with the Buffalo Bills and losing four Super Bowls. You want to talk about this now?
I don't
you
know.
You want to talk about this
it sounds
now?
Like this is technically your version of disclosure.
I can't believe this. All right. Well, there are like, you know, if we went to Sedona, Arizona, and we looked around some like Goodwills and stuff, I guarantee we'd see, you know, Disclosure 2000 t-shirts.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're all over the place because the people have been claiming that disclosure is about to happen for as long as there's been UFO interest.
But are we not, just to put my more novice cap on here, aren't we seeing it with like the flying Tic Tac video of the Tic Tac UFO and all this stuff that we showed in our live show as well when Henry did his UFO segment? Isn't that disclosure?
The problem is that because what UFO reality is has never been defined. It means something different to everybody. So if the government came out and said UFOs were real, that's going to be enough for maybe some people who trust the government.
Because they sort of have now,
but no,
right?
The problem is that, it's yeah, that's the thing, Kassel, is that because now the government is saying, yes, we are getting into UFOs. Yes, these videos are legit. Now, the makes conspiracy mind go double, triple secret, where you go like, well, now this is a phone. This is an op. The videos are an op and all stuff. So they are just questioning any layer of reality that's brought to them.
So there's not a lot of, there's been a lot of discussion or theory on like why people believe conspiracy theories and how they continue. And actually one of my favorite books on this is an occult book. It's The History of Magic by Elpheus Levi. And in that book, he describes how he makes the case that these ideas are true because they never change. They just morph. So you can believe, you know, A is true, and then evidence will show you that no, it's not, but then you'll just change what A means for you. You'll change the window dressing. So for example, there are beings visiting this planet, not from here, right? Okay. That's kind of a general formal statement.
Yes.
In the 1200s, we might have said that those beings are demons. But then the place for demons to exist, all the testing on demons showed that that wasn't the case. And so then we had to change that theory. We had to change that idea. So then it became fairies. It became fae. It became these other things. And in the modern day, so every time those ideas get shifted or they get disproven, the idea doesn't die. It just gets moved around a little bit. So the underlying idea behind a lot of this, behind, in my mind, a lot of UFO culture is the government is hiding secrets from us. That won't be fixed by disclosure.
So that's a fair truth, right? That the theory that the government is hiding information from us is a truth, right?
They definitely are. Definitely are. And we know that they are.
So is that the only truth in ufology?
That is one of the main tenets, is that no matter what you hear, it's a lie.
But then isn't another truth in ufology that they want the government to tell them the truth?
That's why this whole thing is so damn uncomfortable, right? They're like, the government's been lying to us for 50 years, but look at this guy who used to work for the government part that was lying to us. Now he's on our side, right? Like, why do you trust him now? That doesn't make any sense.
I forget the name of the guy, but the Canadian defense minister.
Then there's Nick Pope. And then there's the other, but those are different to me. They were actually outside of the secret keeping mechanism in a way. They were all officials that they said, like Edgar Mitchell, like all these other people, J. Allen Hynek. They went in to be essentially level-headed people, quote unquote, level-headed, like governors of state, which we now know is not a prerequisite for running a country. But you believe that. But the part of it is that they experienced things and then became like UFO believers, where somebody like Luis Elizondo, if he did indeed work for ATIP, he was a part of the covert mechanism that was using to hide the truth. And so now, so he's flipping teams now? Like money has made him more honest? I don't know. His job was to be in the secret keeping industry. Why is he now saying this information if this was not more of a smokescreen? Which is just more of the cognitive dissonance. I'm not saying that that's true or not.
Right.
I'm saying that's a part of why people are fucking flipping out.
Yeah, that's the problem. The problem is that, again, you can't be, they're trying to kind of play to all sides of the UFO phenomena. And eventually they're going to have to come out and say, this isn't psychic, it's physical, or this isn't a threat to us, it's all psychic, or right. Because those things, maybe they can exist simultaneously, sort of, but there's a lot of parts there. There's a lot of things that would have to get sort of hand waved away. And that's going to make a lot of people really unhappy.
What about things like 5G? With that wrapped up conspiracy theory as far as mind control and all of that, alien technology, as we see technology advance, do you think that that's going to kind of increase people's, belief that this stuff is alien technology? Is it going to increase people who believe in technology or believe in aliens because they can't understand how we even got to technology like 5G?
All these are like schools of thoughts where I kind of believe that they view them all as like separate, like sci-fi and like fantasy, like catalogs or like trilogies. And so if you hop into the world of retrofitting old UFOs into modern technology, that's one world of ufology. Then there's just the other world ufology that, you know, that because then that splits into, do we have something in a hangar somewhere that we're working on? Or is there another thing that they just stole stuff? Or there's the new, what they're kind of intimidating right now, which is this idea that they are taking the R&D section of this very seriously.
Yeah. The problem, like Henry's saying, right, is that they're all we have 70 years of stories, and a lot of them go against each other. You know, perfect example of this is TTSA published Bob Lazar's autobiography. Bob Lazar, in his autobiography, claims that the government has access to craft, is back engineering them. We know what they are, and we're studying it. That is being published by a group who in public is saying, we don't know what these are. We've never studied them before, and we have no idea what's going on. We don't have any crash craft. Right. So those two things are completely opposed to each other.
What is
how
canon?
Is it they're both going out there?
What is canon UFO lore, yes, and what is not? And that's the... We're seeing all these, because, you know, Philip Schneider, Billy Meyer, all of these different personalities come with their own storylines. Philip Corso, all these people show up and they all have their own version of a story, which then you wonder, what's PSYOP? What is purposeful disinformation? Because I do think that there's a heavy amount of purposeful disinformation. We know that they were talking about littering the news with these types of stories to muddy the waters about what is true and what is not about the UFO subject. We know that because of specifically Sarah Scholl's book, which was really interesting, more of the concept that the U.S. government may have actively used in the 1960s the UFO storyline to cover up technology testing in the sky. They would use it,
sure,
and inflame it purposefully so that they can put up whatever they want in the sky, also to have subtle psychological warfare with Russia and China. Like, so yeah, the UFOs are here and we know what they are. Y'all don't. Like, you don't know what this shit is, by doing reverse psychology, by saying, yeah, we're not researching them very much, but everyone in international spy code knows that you're saying the opposite of what it is that you mean.
It's a mess. It's all a
yeah,
mess,
it
man.
Sounds like it.
It's all a
it
mess.
It sounds like a mess. All right. So Chris Cogswell, again, mad scientist. Just we got to wrap this up, but it's amazing. He loves
this, Chris.
No, I do love it. I think it's very interesting. It would be nice if it wasn't such a mess. Like that.
Oh, it'd be great.
Because that's what I love about sports. Woo, oh, whistle. Oh, game start. Oh, halftime. Oh, game done. See?
Yes.
See how that works?
Well, I honestly think that what you're saying is a good opportunity. I hope that one day we can figure out a way to weave all of this shit together in a fashion that makes sense.
Where do you think it's going then? So where do you guys, this past 7 years, as you guys have been talking about with the To the Stars Academy and all the funding now going into ufology with all the release from government footage, and then also just everyone has their phones, which are cameras. Did you know they're cameras? We're getting a lot more footage, a lot of weird shit happening. Where do you guys see this going now? Where do you think we'll be in 2030? I mean, it seems like it's exponentially growing at such a faster rate than it was even in the, you know, 30 years or 40 years prior to the invention of the smartphone.
So there's a couple of groups. So actually, I'm involved in a couple of projects that we're trying to do this seriously. So one of the projects is called Sky Hub. And what we're actually trying to do there is build, just like you're saying, right, build sensor systems and cameras that'll sit out in places where people claim to have seen UFOs and just record. No one's tried that yet, really.
It's so weird.
It's crazy.
Do you remember MUFON tried? They tried to do a thing where they said, we'll send a camera to your house and you can put it on your roof and then you maintain it and send us the footage. And guess what happens? I think a lot of those cameras get pawned for gas money. I didn't think that they ever, or they never existed in the first place.
It's, you know, so we're trying to do something like that where if everyone's got computers now, everyone's got their cell phones, everyone has access to this information. If we can get the information out there, hopefully at least it can be interesting. The other thing that we're trying to do, or the other part of this that I think will happen in the next, say, 10 years is, or I guess, I don't, you know, you can't make predictions in this, right? Because everyone who always makes predictions in ufology makes themselves look like an asshole.
Right.
So, and I'm not trying to play that game. So one thing, though, I will say is if... And this goes to one of the questions you asked too about why are people fighting this so much, or why is disclosure such a big thing? If ufology tomorrow became serious, if the government said, we're starting a program, we're going to fund people to do research into this.
What about the Space Force?
I don't know. They're more into figuring how to drop bombs from space.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, right? But regardless, if this does become serious tomorrow, Is there any universe where anybody currently in ufology gets called by the government to do research for them?
I don't think so.
No, of course not, right?
No.
Those people are getting dropped. So this is protection of livelihood. These are people saying, holy shit, if the government gets involved in this, if this becomes serious.
Right. You're fucking with my money.
Exactly. Yeah. What happens to my 401k? So, you know, disclosure in many ways would be the worst thing for the UFO community because suddenly, you know, it's like when Scientology became too big, right? And now suddenly you have people coming out and writing tell-all books and talking about what happened inside and the crazy boats and all that shit. That's what's going to happen in ufology. If it becomes serious, you know, the scandals and all the problems, everything else, those get magnified. And that's the last thing these people want.
We're already kind of seeing that with MUFON and...
Yes.
MUFON, they didn't really... you didn't have to dig too hard.
Yeah.
He openly tried to purchase a 13-year-old. That's the thing, is that you didn't have to scratch beyond the surface.
Right.
He didn't have to wear a MUFON shirt. He's wearing a MUFON shirt in the mugshot.
He's wearing a MUFON polo in the fucking mugshot.
It's insanity. It's like, was he trying to impress the kid? Like, you know, you like UFOs?
I guess I'll tell you what, from personal experience, no one's impressed by the polo.
No.
No one likes it. They all hate it. They think that they hate you. They hate you when you wear it.
My
in-laws. I know he wore the polo.
It's in his fucking mugshot.
My in-laws own a house where a famous UFO sighting happened. Well, famous. It's immortalized in a book. We actually talk about it on the show. They own a house where a UFO event happened, and they still make fun of me being like, still talking about UFOs to all your crazy friends on the internet? Like, yeah. I am. So no, this is, if it gets taken seriously, it's going to be bad for the UFO community in my mind. So people are fighting it and they're trying to poke holes in it, I think. But you know, if history is any indication, what'll happen in the next 10 years is nothing. I hope that's not the case though. I hope happens is the internet is bringing people together. It's allowing us to collect data in ways that wasn't possible before. I hope that it'll allow us to kind of work on some of the things we've been talking about, build a database of sightings, build a database of events that actually occur, get people to tell their stories. Because, you know, that's one thing that I've seen happen in my own life is if you sit down at a bar and you ask someone, you're with 10 people, if you ask them if you had something weird happen to you in your life, there's at least one person in that group who will say yes.
And it's fascinating, and I think it brings people together, and a part of it is showing that you're not alone, that you've experienced these things, and you're not necessarily crazy fully, but it's nice to hear another person with the same sort of crazy say something that you can latch onto.
Yeah, and it's always good to check for the reptilians.
The reptilians, they are coming for our ladies.
Heard that. All right. Well, thank you so much, Chris Cogswell, and unfortunately, Marie Mayhew was not able to be here today, but hopefully you guys can both.
She's serving
back
on the front lines. She's fighting COVID-19.
Yes, she is. She's working there. Apparently the gloves are too small at the hospital. They got to get bigger gloves. That's true. That's not even a Ben Kissel bit.
My problem is that I always have a problem with rubber gloves because my hands are so small.
Yeah, mine are too big. You would think that they could stretch or get, I don't know. We haven't perfected the rubber glove.
If we can't perfect the rubber fucking glove, how are we going to bring disclosure to the people?
That's a great point. So check out the Mad Scientist podcast. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Guys, it was so much fun. You're the best.
Live from your grave.
All right, there it was, our interview with Chris Cogswell from the Mad Scientist podcast.
See how smart he sounds?
I love him.
See how put together a ufologist can be?
You could be that, but you choose not to be.
The problem is that I have my hands in so many different, up in so many different pies.
I believe that. So I don't believe that's even an analogy. I think that's literally the truth.
I can't just be a ufologist. I am a ufologist. I'm also, I did a lot of analysis after you talked about it with Jodi Arias' butthole. I did a lot of further analysis on that, and that's taken a lot of time. And
of course,
I've been doing a lot of grilling.
That's perfect. Well, and you're doing a great job at grilling. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening to this interview. Thank you so much for giving to our Patreon.
Thank you for your money.
Do we have anything? I mean, obviously, we have like the merch and stuff, but we don't need to talk about here. Our manager can't kill us here.
He can't kill us here. You know, you're about to be on a Discord.
Yes.
So just know that it's a community that you're a part of already.
You're part of a community.
You're part of a community. Why don't you enjoy some of the perks of the community?
Absolutely. So we'll do a Discord. I believe, is Marquise going to be speaking at some point? We're all going to be talking at some point.
Yeah, we're all going to be on
We're all going to freaking
do it. Fucking love it. You're going to love every fucking second.
Well, it'll be what it is. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much. Hope you're doing as well as you can be out there. Never forget, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everyone.
Mail me. Bye.
You can do it.
I'm coming.
The truth is out there. The truth is out there.
Look to the skies.